Please turn your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 1. We're reading starting with verses 3 through 6 this morning. This week is the week of Thanksgiving. It's kind of the beginning of holiday season proper, I think. And I know people have been putting out Christmas decorations since like the beginning of November after the Halloween holiday. And my kids were laying in the bed last night or the night before, I believe it was, and they turned on a Christmas song. And I said, no, not right now. You have to wait another week before we do that. We're not doing that right now. And they were like, why? And I was like, just because. We're going to be listening to this stuff all next month. You can wait. And they were like, okay, fine. So then they turned on the Gobble Gobble song, which has been in my head for a week and a half now. It's Gobble Gobble. What is it? My kids are downstairs. One, Gobble Gobble one, Gobble Gobble two. That's how it starts. Okay. And it's like, oh my, put that turkey in my belly. It's on the radio. It's a very popular radio song now. It's like the Thanksgiving song of the year, okay? This has been out for several years, so I don't know where you've been, Agnes. But anyway, we're getting ready for the holidays, and we're all making preparations. Some of you have been buying Christmas gifts all year, but for people like me, I start to think about it in a couple weeks, and my wife, fortunately, has been taking care of that for us, you know. But this week especially, we've got maybe a big meal planned or something just quiet and still trying to rest. My particular plans are apple pie sometime in the week. But, you know, we're doing these holiday things, and we're thinking this week in particular about giving thanks. And there are all kinds of things that we appreciate, that we are thankful to God for. First and foremost, we often think of family or friends. As we sit down to eat on Thursday, we'll be thinking about whatever spread is in front of us and the turkey or the chicken or whatever it is that you fix on that day, the stuffing and the gravy. We'll be thanking God for his provision for all the many blessings that we have in life. We thank God for all the material things that he's provided us, the houses that we live in, and the cars that we drive, and the places that we're able to go. So many good things in life that God allows us to enjoy. And I was looking through the scriptures this week, trying to think through this idea of Thanksgiving and all the different ways that we are thankful to God, and you know, his salvation and his glory and what he offers us in Christ. Those are all top of the list. But as I was looking, there was a particular group of passages about Thanksgiving that really stood out to me. And those were the passages where Paul gives thanks for God's people, his brothers and sisters in Christ. And in many of his letters, Paul introduces himself. He addresses the people that he's talking to. It'd be letters like the letter to the Romans or to the Corinthians. He writes to the Colossians. He writes to the Ephesians. He writes to the Philippians. He writes to the people in Thessalonica. He writes to a friend named Philemon. And in all of these letters, he begins by giving thanks for them and praying for them and telling them basically how much he finds joy and love in their fellowship in Christ. He expresses his gratitude for his brothers and sisters. And so today we're going to look at several of these verses and consider this aspect of Thanksgiving, how we might be thankful for the community in which God has placed us. So we're going to start by reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. He's introduced himself. He's said hello to them, basically. And then verse 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. All right, here we have Paul. He's writing to the people in Colossae, and he says, hey, as we start this, I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you how you're supposed to live. But I'm going to start by saying, I'm thankful to God for you. And he lists several reasons here. And the first reason that we see is their faith in Christ Jesus. He says, I always thank God. This is continual. This is attitude that's ongoing. I always thank God the Father as the source of life and our Lord Jesus when I pray for you. He's offering prayers for these people that he is serving, these people that he is loving, these people that he's discipling and leading. And he says, hey, I'm always praying for you, and I'm thankful because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, very often, at the beginning of this, I named a bunch of the different letters that Paul writes, and in two or three of them, he uses these specific reasons, their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for one another. He says it to the Ephesians. He says it to his friend Philemon, right? And he basically says, I am hearing, right, because he's not present with them. That's one of the reasons he's writing a letter. And we have to think about, like, how news is traveling in the ancient world. Like, we are very connected. My phone is up there right now. I could go call a friend up and be like, hey, how are you doing? And I would probably get through it. If not, I could send a text message, and I would expect to hear back from them relatively quickly. But in this time and in this world, we're only communicating with one another through letters, right? We have to send someone to check on you, and I'm going to write you a letter, and I'm going to send it with a friend of mine who's probably also a friend of yours, and they're going to deliver that to you, and I'm going to check in on you, see how you're doing, and hopefully you'll write back to me, and I'll hear news of how you're doing. And as people traveled around in the ancient world, they're telling news of here's what's happening over in Ephesus, here's what's happening over in Thessalonica, here's what's happening in Colossae, and we're writing back and forth. And he says, I'm hearing how you're living, and I'm thankful for that. I'm hearing of your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith speaks of not just a intellectual understanding or belief in something, like I believe that the sky is blue because I can go out and experience it and see it and all those kinds of things, but it speaks of a trust that we have in a relationship with someone. When you have faith in someone, it means that you believe that they're reliable and trustworthy, and they will do what they say they're going to do. You can depend on them. And that is what he's describing here when he talks about faith in Jesus. It's more than just, yeah, I believe Jesus died and rose again. It is more like an experiential relationship where I am totally confident in who Jesus is and what he does for me. I have this trust that he hears me and he answers my prayers. What we sang this morning, I trust in God. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, right? So faith is about this relationship and this confidence in Jesus. And what he's basically saying is, I'm watching you in your walk with Jesus and it encourages me. I see your relationship with him, your trust in him, and I am thankful for that. So one of the things that we have to be thankful for as we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ is how they walk in faith. Boy, do I need help in that area sometimes. Like, I pray sometimes, I'm like, Lord, my heart is fickle. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm all in, and other times I'm just distracted and all over the place. I don't know if you can identify with that. But like, man, I want to be steadfast and true, and I know that I'm not always that, but I'm trying. But then when I look around the room and I see people here who are also trying and maybe not perfect but living a life of faith, I am built up and I am challenged and I am encouraged because of what my brothers and sisters are doing, and I'm thankful to God for that. Like, in specifically, as I think about faith this morning, All of you come to mind in every area. You guys are all awesome. But I think specifically about Carol this morning and her great faith in the Lord. And I love when I go to talk to her and she's like, well, we should pray about it, or I'll pray about it. Like, that's kind of like her first response. And everything that I talk to her about is prayer, 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 because she has a relationship with God. And out of her relationship with God, we'll be talking about a situation that's going on, and she'll be like, well, the Lord's kind of reminded me of this thing. And she'll share a scripture or a story from her life where God taught her something. And it's just this relationship that she has with Jesus is so real and just true and faithful. And I love talking to her about it because whenever I've got stuff going on, like, it's like pointing me to Jesus all the time. Pointing me to Jesus all the time. I think about her story of the brain tumor that she's had and how she gives praise regularly as she's going for an MRI. And she's like, I'm confident there's going to be nothing there. You know, just that faith and trust that she has in the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. It encourages me. He also talks about love. He says, I'm thankful for your faith, and I'm thankful for the love that you have for all of God's people. This word, God's people, is the word for saint. In other words, God's holy ones, the people who are set apart unto him, right? So, again, this isn't reserved for some special group of Christians who are like the elite Christian soldier kind of things. That's not the picture here. It's like, if you are a believer in Jesus, God has set you apart and called you to himself to be wholly devoted to him, to be a saint. And he says, I'm grateful for the love that I see among my brothers and sisters in this church as they take care of one another. The idea of love, as we talked last week, is about this warm affection that we have for one another. It's a desire to see what is really best for other people and to do what is good for them. That we're not in a relationship with other people for what we can get out of it, how it makes us feel, but really it's a place of service and care and concern for others, where we're taking an interest in them and doing what is best for them. She's not here this morning. I talked to her this week. I'm thinking about love in particular, and what comes to my mind is Carolyn Dill. If you're in the presence of Carolyn Dill, you are being loved. Those of you who haven't had opportunity to be around her, you know how much she cares, and how much when like things are going bad, if you've got something that you're struggling with, a sickness or something like that, her heart is broken for you, and she is praying for you. And she loves to give hugs and to laugh and to encourage and to talk. And she says to tell you all hi. She's going to Mexico for a few weeks. She wanted to let us know that she's traveling with her granddaughter, going to Mexico and getting away from cold weather and celebrating Thanksgiving and those kinds of things. But, you know, she thought to call and say, hey, tell everyone that I'll miss them and I'll see you when I get back. Like, if you go to her house, she's going to make sure you've got something to eat. She's going to just sit and talk and be present with you and listen, and she's not going to be distracted by all the other things that are on her to-do list, but she's just going to be present with you and love on you when you talk to her. And it's those kinds of relationships, and again, I could name each of you in some aspect and talk about love, but it really stands out to me how she puts that on display and challenges me to love other people. If you notice here that faith and love is connected to hope. It says faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. So as Paul is writing this, he's describing these characteristics, and he's basically reminding them of the future that they have. And we see the similar idea as he writes to the Thessalonians. So would you go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning? The right way. There we go. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3, it says this. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has this really cool relationship with the believers as he writes to the Thessalonians. Like, if you read through chapter 2 and chapter 3, he just longs to see them. He describes his ministry with them as like a mother caring for her children, a father caring for his children, like this really close-knit family relationship with his brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And again, the same language is we always thank God. We continually mention you in our prayers, right? We're constantly praying. And here's what he's praying about and thankful for. He says, we remember your work produced by faith. In other words, we have this faith in God, and it leads to action. As we trust in God, it plays out in our lives in works of service, service to God and service to one another. Our faith causes us to do good things. We're not saved because of the good things that we do. We're saved because of the grace of God and the goodness of God. But out of that goodness, then we begin to live that goodness in our lives, and we do good works, do good deeds. He says, your labor prompted by love. That love for someone leads to service. And he uses the word labor here, and it describes like work that's actually hard, that's toilsome. There are things to do in life. They don't all come easy. They are difficult. When it comes to serving people, we get in the mess and we get our hands dirty and we do the hard work as we get ready to serve the community in the next few weeks. It's a lot of work going down there and picking up a shirt and going, oh, that's a medium, put it over here. That one's not so easy, but then you pick up the next one and now that's a medium, that goes over here. And then you pick up, that's a large and that one goes over here. And after you've gone through three or four boxes, you're like, how many more boxes do I have to do? But that's a labor of love, and it flows out of God's love for us and then our love for other people. He says, I'm inspired, or I'm thankful for your endurance inspired by hope. Again, this expectation for a future, we're waiting on the glory that is going to be revealed when Christ returns, and that hope inspires endurance. Because I know what's coming, I can stick out the hard stuff while I wait. I can endure, I can bear up under the difficulty because I know what the future holds. I'm just waiting for it to come, right? And so in this area then, he's mostly thankful for their like acts of service, their work and their labor and endurance in that as they're waiting on Jesus. So we're thankful for the things that people do as they serve God and serve us as we wait on Jesus. And in this area, like, I can name every one of you. Like, you're all working so hard here. Every time I think, like, hey, there's a job that needs to be done around here, and I think, well, so-and-so's already doing this, and so-and-so's already doing this, and so-and-so's... Like, everybody's already doing something. I'm like, hey, there's other jobs to do, and... But, like, when I think about work, labor, and endurance, a couple people come to mind. Specifically, one of those is Ralph back there. His efforts in helping take care of the facility around here has been amazing this year. I'm going to brag on him. Earlier this year, we were getting ready for the guy to come mow, and the guy who does the mowing likes us to go through and pick up all the sticks and things like that as he starts the mowing season. And as I was doing that this year, I walked around the back of the church to pick up sticks. And in between the gym and the little storage shed that we've got out there, somehow, some way, a bag of trash got out there. And I don't know if we accidentally left it out there, if someone drove down our road and dropped a bag of trash back there. But it was shredded. It was absolutely shredded, and there was just trash everywhere. And I called up Ralph. I don't remember exactly what our conversation was, but I was doing sticks, and I had some things going on that weekend, and I was like, I can't get to this before Eddie comes to mow. And Ralph's like, I got it. I'll take care of it. And so Ralph came out and picked up a random bag of trash, strewn all over the backyard there. Thank you, Ralph. Another person that stands out to me, he's downstairs teaching right now. Jesse Campbell. If I could explain it, I don't think I can, like the way that he pours into this place and pours into our kids and pours into you all in ways that, you know, you'll never see. You'll never see it. For decades, he has been here serving in whatever way he can possibly serve. Like, I live next door, so I see when he shows up when nobody's here. I see him out there tearing down pieces on the playground and rebuilding it. Years and years ago, like, he doesn't have a background in music. I don't even know if he has any particular interest in music, but we needed a bass player, and he was like, I'll learn that, so we have a bass player. And then all of a sudden, we had a bass player, and he's like, well, I guess I'll learn keyboard next so that we have a keyboard player. Like, that's just who he is, and it's constant, and it's all the time. And those are just a couple categories. There's so many other categories that I could go through. And I'm like, dude, how do you do this? Like, the endurance that he has and the ability to just keep going. And he's like, I don't know, I'm just trying to follow God. And it's like, he's so humble about it, and he'll never talk about it, but, like, the labor that he puts into serving God and serving us is just incredible, and it's a challenge to me. I'm thankful for it.
He must really love helping people, because, I mean, I know he's a trainer target, and you have to be a certain type of personality to be able to go through that training process all the time to deal with people and their crazy questions and stuff like that. And my kids absolutely adore him.
Yep, he's awesome. Awesome. All right. Next, 1 Thessalonians, same book, chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. All right, so again, repeating that same idea, Paul's like, we're dealing with stress, we're dealing with persecution, but I see your faith, and so that builds me up. In verse 8, for now we really live, since you are standing firm. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Can you feel what he's feeling as he talks about this relationship that he has with them? And he's like, I want to see you face to face is the idea behind this. Like, I want to see you again. And he says specifically, how can we thank God enough for all the joy we have because of you, right? The believers are bringing one another joy. He's like, what thanks can I possibly give? How can I possibly repay God for the joy that you give me? And that's awesome, because, like, man, I hope, I don't know if this is true, don't signal one way or the other, please. I hope when you see me coming, you're not like, oh, here's that guy again. Right? And I bet you hope that too. Like, when you walk into your room, you don't want people going, oh, here's so-and-so again. Right? Like, that shouldn't be what we feel for one another. If we do feel that, we ought to maybe check our hearts. But God has designed us to be a blessing and to bring joy to one another. And then we're thankful to God for the joy that we receive from one another. Ricky, you bring me a lot of joy. You guys probably don't know, but he beats me here every Sunday. I'm trying to get here. I think even if I didn't have to wrestle with kids and all the other stuff I've got to deal with in the morning, he would still be here first. He always greets me as I come across the parking lot. I'm trying to get ready to sing. I do these silly vocal warm-ups that annoy everybody. I know that does not bring you joy when I'm coming in doing these voice things. But Ricky, he just kind of ignores me and laughs at me. And he says, hey, how you doing? And he gets out of the truck and he follows me. If the door's not already unlocked, he follows me in. But usually if somebody's been here before me, he's in. And then he comes and he sits there. and we start worship, and we go through like all of the songs, and almost every Sunday we sing them all the way through. He stands here and sings with us while we practice and get ready for Sunday. And it's so much fun to just be, look at him laughing, see? It's so much fun to just be in the room, and he's laughing and having a good time, and he's praising the Lord as we praise the Lord, and it brings me joy. Thanks, Rick. We're going to look at one more this morning, and that is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Again, he said hello. He's introduced himself. He's addressed them. And then in Philippians 1, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. So similar idea. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Similar ideas, he references joy, but specifically he talks about partnership in the gospel. This word for partnership is the word for fellowship. And we often describe this word as having a part to play in someone else's life. You have a share in something, and they have a share in that same thing. There's this mutual sharing that's going on. And I've used this illustration before, but it's like when we do a potluck, and everybody brings something to the table, and everybody receives something. We call that a fellowship. But this fellowship is a deep connection on the human level of like, hey, we are in this together, and God has us on mission. God has a task for us in sharing the good news of Jesus, that's the gospel, and we are working together in this mission. That's what that partnership is. He says, I'm thankful for that. And here's Paul, and as we studied the book of Acts, we saw all of his travels and all the places that he went, and as he went around, he shared the gospel with people, and then he would go on to a new place and share the gospel, but he stayed connected to the churches where he had proclaimed the gospel, and they stayed connected with him, and they sent support, they sent supplies, they prayed for him, that there was this partnership that they had as he went about declaring the good news of Jesus. And he says, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the people of God and their partnership and the work of God that he has called us to. And he says that he's confident that ultimately God's going to bring that work to completion, that there is a good work that God has started among his people. And I believe that's true in Philippi. I believe that's true right here, right now among us, that there is a good work that God has started here, and he has been doing that work for a very long time, and he is going to carry it on until the day when he returns and he completes it. And we, as we're looking forward to that day, endure and we partner together because we know that God will ultimately accomplish what he sets out to do. I think about partners, and two people come to mind this morning. The first is Jim, and he will say, please don't talk about me. But Jim is a humble servant of the Lord. I love how he is vulnerable. I am so appreciative that he stands and shares God's word with us. It helps me personally in the sense that it lets me do some other things that need done. It lets me take a break every now and then and those types of things. But not just that. Like, every time he speaks, I'm like, why do you have to preach at me today? I feel like he's talking directly to me. No, it's like really good. It encourages me because it's usually like stuff that I exactly need to hear that particular day. And I love how he's just open to the Lord. And very often, he doesn't share from his successes or where he's done really well. He will share from his failures. And that means a lot because I can identify, like, some of the things that he shares, I'm like, I'm with you there. I feel it. And his service in that way really encourages me. And I appreciate that as we are trying to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we're dealing with difficult situations in the lives of people, right? Because, like, as we do life together, people have heartaches. People have troubles. Jim, I can call on him and say, hey, will you help me go talk with so-and-so? Will you help me in this situation where I need some wisdom and I need some counsel? He's there as I try to share the gospel with people. And I know that I can rely on him to be faithful and true and honest and speak humbly what we need to hear. The other person that I want to brag on is my friend Agnes. I don't know what to say, my friend, other than thank you. She has served this place long before I was here. I mean, like, long before I was here as a kid, long before. And I know I've told the story about how she came to work here after I became senior pastor. But the things that we have done together and the things that we have been through in service to the Lord and his people, I don't have any words other than to say I appreciate you. Before I started working here, or at least when I was on staff, when Andy and Brenda were here, she worked a job as secretary of a church downtown, but she always came to our church. This was her church. And so in the evenings, I would be going home, and she would be finishing up her job and coming in to do the bookkeeping. And I could see the lights on in the office as she sat over here at the computer entering all the records and everything. And eventually I got to get her to come out here and work for us part-time. And things in life happened, and, you know, she's survived cancer and some other illnesses, a major back surgery. And coming back from that, she said, I just want to do this on a volunteer basis. I don't want to have a schedule, or I just want to be able to show up when I want to. So she's doing most of the things that she's always done, but she comes out on a weekly basis, multiple times a week, helps me take care of things, helps me organize things, keeps track of my crazy budget system and all this kind of stuff for us, and so many other things that I don't have time to talk about. But she encourages me because, like, she loves me, and I know that she cares about me, but first and foremost, she's serving the Lord, and I believe that if it was someone else here, she would be doing the same thing. It's not just because of me. It's because she loves the Lord, and she loves the Lord's people, and this is where she wants to be. I was singing a song this morning before worship, an old song. When I say old song, it's not a hymn. It's like from the early 2000s, okay? But it's like, no place I would rather be but here in your love, right? Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God, right? But it starts with, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. And that's like, there's no place that she would rather be. I often encourage her, go somewhere and do something. She's like, nah, I'm coming in tomorrow. And I'm like, get a life, woman. Like, but this is her life. But this is her life. This is what she loves, serving the Lord, and she loves doing this. Like, if she misses a Sunday, she's upset about it because she wants to be here. And I'm grateful that she has chosen to be here and that she partners with me as we do ministry and serve people on a daily basis. So, thank you. If you have 4 more hours, I will go down every pew and every person even if you've only been here for the last year, Robert and Nancy, I'm serious. I love you people, and I'm grateful for you. And I'm thankful for the ways that you serve the Lord and the ways that you serve one another. I want to encourage you, because you're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this week. And there's all the normal things that we're thankful for, and we should be. God's grace, God's salvation, the food that we're going to eat, our family and friends. But God has gifted us so much by placing each one of you in this body. And I want you to remember that, and I want you to be thankful for that today. I want you to be thankful for the faith that's on display in this place. I want you to be thankful for the love that's shared among our brothers and sisters, the hard work, the selfless labor, and the perseverance for year after year because we're looking for the hope that is coming in Jesus. The joy that's present in this place that we have before God because of one another, and the partnership that we have as we serve him together and advance the kingdom of God and proclaim the gospel. I want you to be encouraged this morning, and I want you to be blessed by one another as you consider what's being done among God's people in this place. Would you pray with me today? God, thank you this morning that we've had some time to look at your word and to highlight just a few of the things that you've done. Lord, each person here loves you, serves you faithfully, week in and week out, from people who are on the worship team to people who are teaching children on Wednesday nights, to those people like who we probably don't even know the things that are being done, and yet you're still working behind the scenes in their lives as you encourage them and walk with them and empower them to serve. So God, I pray that this morning as we just take a little glimpse at that, that you would build us up in our faith and that you would strengthen us for the task that is ahead of us. Lord, we are so grateful for the gifts that we have in our brothers and sisters, and we pray that your will would be done among us and that you would be glorified in our faith and in our love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.